GM, Rick Kang.
GM. We'll get started in just a couple of minutes. Trendy, you got some background music for us?
Bro, for real. I was digging through something and I was gonna start humming or something. Pretty silent. Maybe play some cricket noises.
Yeah, as soon as somebody speaks, right, it cuts off the Twitter, you know, elevator music.
Maybe I should join on my computer next time and stream some music through it.
Nice, beautiful voice. If you just joined the space, bottom right corner, please like and retweet the space. We'll get a few more people in and then we'll get started. This space is recorded, so then again, don't worry.
I have some music.
Who's got the chicken song? You know that one? Trendy, you got that one on hand?
The chicken dance song? What are you talking about?
Yeah, the chicken song. It's the best one. I'll play it later. People will recognize it.
Yeah, I don't think we're on the same page on that one.
Yeah, the chicken head. Anyways, all right, let's get started. People will be trickling in a little later. Like I said, it's recorded. Thank you, Filament Finance, for taking the time today to explain what you guys are building. I'm excited about it. I've always been a big fan of NFTs collaborating with DeFi protocols, so this is super cool. We usually have this structure of you guys kind of presenting yourselves, talking a little bit about where and when you came up with this idea and why. And then we'll go through some of the specifics. So usually the flow is pretty straightforward. Should be a good show. Should be a good spaces. Thanks again, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting us here. Love the community. Especially like I got a chance to look on a lot of different Rick Yang communities. In my head, it was just like one collection, but just like went through the Stargaze one and the chicken one, and so it's just very interesting. Love the vibe and just like the name. I feel this is a very personal opinion. I feel like all of us have got wrecked once in a lifetime, and probably like it's a beautiful thing to come together, embrace that feeling, and something like Wrecked Gang is a great representation of like just saying, hey, you know, we all have been wrecked once, and why not we just come together and like grow together? So yeah, that's what I think about when I just look at this community. It's just is a beautiful way to put it. The art is very, very funny, very relatable. I love Trendy's PFP as well. So I know like a lot of these are very good. I just want to have one question. What is that exactly, that animal? Like, because it feels like combination of a bunch of things, but what is it exactly?
Yeah, so Trendy has a D-Gods. This is a god And when you buy one, you feel like a god. That is his PFP. Unless you're talking about the wolf that's next to him. I don't know about that one. But yeah, you definitely captured the spirit there. It's all about, you know, coming together, learning together. And today we're here to learn about what you guys are building. I feel this is something that's important. We've been heavily involved in another PERPS protocol called Hyperliquid. So our experience was very positive. And that is on EVM chain, right? Well, they do run their own network, so I guess it's a bit of both. But technically, it's on Arbitrum. So this one that you guys are building is on Injective, from my understanding. And you're going to have some communities face each other off. And I feel like that's really a great way to kickstart kind of the community building and as well onboard some people to your protocol, right? You want users, and that's kind of the main goal. But before we get to that, please, you know, who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? I'm Zerk myself. I'm co-founder of Rec Gang. We got Trendy here, who's a community rector and does pretty much everything at Rec Gang, as well as Kudo, who's not here, who does everything else. So who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? Learn a little bit more about yourself.
Absolutely. I'm Abhi Tej. I'm one of the co-founders of Filament. There's another co-founder called Pratyaksh. I take care of everything ecosystem, business, anything outreach. And Pratyaksh takes care of everything product. Just a little background about myself. I've been in crypto since 2018. Started actually with Solidity and then moved on to Cosmos. Became one of the early community contributors and then like got really dove deep into Cosmos and stayed there and went on to lead ecosystem at Persistence, which is a liquid staking hub within Cosmos. And then last year moved on to like try out different ecosystems, started helping a lot of founders. And then that's when I realized that PERPS is going to be a huge space, which is already evident now. But also there was a huge scope, design scope particularly, where a lot of improvements could be achieved. And that's what we try to do at Filament now. And we've solved like a bunch of those problems that we started with. And simple like thought process behind Filament was that you have two basic, outside of like it's a highest product market fit product within DeFi and in crypto in general. But when we look at like just the products itself, they're categorized between two models. One is an order book based model. The other one is AMM based model, where you have liquidity pools. If you look at order book based models, like so far, like through the years, DYDX has been the only successful one, and the key reason behind that is that it's very hard to bootstrap markets on order book and then maintain the depth of liquidity on order books. So it just is very hard, or the bootstrapping is very hard, and then maintenance gets even harder. And on the AMM based model side, the bootstrapping could be simpler because the LPs are taking an opposite side against a trader. But then it gets very tricky, especially in trending markets with the volatility of assets. The other reason is capital efficiency is very, very low. If you move on to something like an isolated markets model, you have division of liquidity between these multiple pools. You have to bootstrap each of these pools individually. So each market is being individually bootstrapped. So the capital efficiency drops significantly, very evident in GMX. If you see that they're the biggest AMM based model or Oracle based model, but they are not even like touching or closely doing like 10% of what DYDX or Hyperliquid is doing today. The key reason is it's very hard to like, the efficiency is very low, both for trading and for LPing. So we said, okay, how do we solve these were like basic problems to start with. But then the other major problem which we recognized talking to a lot of traders was the the funding rate stabilization in general. So if a professional trader wants to trade, their first choice is always a centralized exchange. The key reason for that is the funding rates are much more stable on a centralized exchange versus a decentralized exchange. And for them to move or migrate to a decentralized exchange, they need certain degree of that kind of like robustness when it comes to the fees that they're paying or the rates that are available on the platform. So we thought, okay, these are three key challenges that we want to start with. One is funding rate stabilization. The second one was bootstrapping of new markets and then maintenance. And the third one was capital efficiency for LPs while also mitigating a lot of risk exposure because PERPs are a very high risk product. And so we started with a basic, very basic thought process. Like, what if we take DYDX and juxtapose it on GMX? That solves the bootstrapping problem. You have like this hybrid style model, although there are multiple other hybrid models also that exist today, but no model is PERPs only. So we wanted to be only to be focused. If you look at GMX, you look at DYDX, and now you look at Hyperliquid. The success behind all these products is that they're focused only on one and only one product, that's PERPs. And that is the same thesis that we have. And so we started with that basic, simple model. But over time, what we realized is like a lot of optimizations that can be done. So as of today, which is the V1 that we have deployed, it has some of the very unique things. We have introduced a completely new liquidity pool model, which is called a compartment-based model, comp pool, which solves the problems of bootstrapping the liquidity pool itself, capital efficiency, but also mitigates a lot of risk for LPs. And it works really well with an order book. So kind of like you have a very like a synchronous model between these two. The second bigger optimization is the way the fees is being levied on the traders. That is, we have introduced something called fee socialization, which in return makes the funding rates much more stable and makes the trading experience much better and much closer to a centralized exchange for a trader. And of course, then we have incorporated some of the things that we're working, but Hyperliquid also brought those along as a market maker. So kind of like, you know, you have these protocol embedded vaults, which are strategy vaults. So anyone, even if like you are democratizing the process of market making, which is the key reason why it has gotten so much success on Hyperliquid, is that you're cutting down the dependence on these institutional or big market makers only to market make on your products. You want to give this opportunity to community that understands a new asset. For example, nobody was talking about WIF 6 months ago, like when it was out there, where there were a few community members that were part of the community, they knew it was growing. So if you have WIF listed on say Filament today, and if there is a strategy world that is being run by the community members itself, they understand this asset much closely, they just want to operate on WIF, they should have that ability to do it. So that's another very interesting thing. We have seen that success already out there in market with a product like Hyperliquid, and now more and more products are doing that. So those are definitely some of the things. That's the thought process just on the product side.
Yeah, very cool. A lot of great improvements. I totally agree that funding rates have been a little bit of a pain, including on, you know, I don't want to FUD, our favorite protocol, but including Hyperliquid whenever everybody wants to short or long something, you know, we all know it's going to go up. And then you have to pay ridiculous fees to just keep that position open, which is pretty unfortunate. So I am looking forward to your proposed solution on this. And the trading vaults, you're totally right. I feel like it's one of the safest things you can do. And you're still kind of exposed to the PERPS protocol, right? Since I don't think many of us are professional traders. And if you think you're a professional trader, you're not. You're probably going to get wrecked. But by putting some money in those vaults, right, you kind of, one, you can invest in the market making and kind of make some profits off the fees of that or people getting liquidated. as well as maybe copy trading somebody that does actually know what they're doing. So those are kind of very cool advancements that you guys are proposing. My question is, you know, you mentioned some really big protocols here, GMX, DYDX, and I know the folks at Hyperliquid, they are very experienced at this. They have, some big brains, some amazing devs. So could you give us a little bit of background on the team that you guys have and maybe why you think you'll be able to accomplish all the things that you mentioned?
Very good question. So so both Pratiksh and I have been very, very DeFi focused. We've been only working in DeFi since like the start of DeFi. I was like earlier building like an RWA platform, where it's just like a little too early, I guess. So our like RW based lending back in 2019. And then sort of like over time have like both of us collectively have shipped and taken to market 5 products at our previous roles and collectively across like different roles. And that comes like Pratiksh comes from a traditional trading background. So he comes from TradeFi, where he's an algo trader, and then got into DeFi and got into just like trading here also, and then went on to build DeFi products. And that's sort of like, you know, like that is a compounding effect that has happened over a lot of things that we have learned. And to give it just a simple thing is like how we have sustained different markets is just purely living and breathing DeFi. That's how most of our team is. And also on the other side, you can have a great product, like you can have the best in the class product team, but it's also very important to how you do go out and do user acquisition and how you retain users. How do you create incentive mechanisms for users? That's where I feel like the experience in the team is also very, very strong. So it's a great balance between a product team that understands trading, that understands DeFi very well, and then a team that also understands how to like capture the imagination. We're like, being a pub sex, we have to understand that we are not into like, we can't think about an asset and think about what the like value accrual and what the technology behind that is. As a pub dex, we have to know that we are in attention economy, and we are feeding into that attention economy. So it's just very important that we realize what users would need at that given point, what is something that they want to take position on. And that's why it's so important to be part. And probably like that's where be the core of what we discussed today as well, is where the idea of guilds came around. That's where we are like taking a step ahead, I think. So based on any other pub decks that's out there, how we are incorporating this on-chain culture into our product. And this makes it very unique experience. Like there's nothing very different that, you know, like a product can go out and do. Like there's nothing like so different what DYDX was doing to say what Hyperliquid is doing, but they just added a new component of like, trading walls, but they also realized like how they would like bring in users, how they retain users. So it's just like every product has this like small window, I think so, and how they tap into it. For us, what we have also realized is what's the major difference between a centralized exchange and a decentralized exchange, or for that matter, any centralized application and any decentralized application that lives on chain. The biggest difference there is that how do you tap into the on-chain culture? How do you build a product that is able to sort of tap into like these different communities? How do you create incentive mechanisms that you're able to align certain community with certain assets? And for that matter, for example, you're building in a certain ecosystem. For example, you build in Solana. Now you have a community that's actively trading like assets that are in Solana ecosystems, but there would be assets like, you know, like Cosmos assets. Now you have users in Solana that might not understand these Cosmos assets. They wouldn't want to trade on these assets. And that's where kind of like, as an exchange, you can't have that degree of tribalism because you want all top assets to be traded. That's where the volumes are coming about. And so that's where like uniqueness comes as like we are forming these guilds and allowing like communities from across the ecosystem to come around, use a product, and then get involved and trade assets that they are culturally aligned to. So, and then of course enhancements that you have done on the product.
You raise a good point, and I guess it's going to be my upcoming question on this chain kind of positioning that you guys decided on. So, you know, most of these protocols that we talked about are EVM, Solidity, right? So Arbitrum, obviously a very popular one. Polygon used to be one of them, but not anymore. But all these protocols kind of run on Solidity. I know DYDX is supposed to come to Cosmos. And you guys position yourselves to pick Injective, right? Out of all the Cosmos chains, that's kind of the one that you guys picked. And I guess my question is, why Cosmos and why Injective more specifically for this user acquisition that you're talking about?
So one clarification there, we are building an EVM product. So it's not a CosmWasm product. So we're not building it on the base Injective chain. A product that we have built is an EVM product, the Solidity product. Where we're deploying it currently, the first chain we're deploying that on is Injective EVM. So it's a roll-up, it's an Caldera roll-up, much like any other L2 that's out there, which is built on top of Injective and has compatibility to any other L2 or Ethereum or any EVM-based chain through layer zero. So it just is like a seamless experience. Now, a very good question is that why Injective EVM itself? Kind of like if you really look at where the progression is happening. Being in Cosmos for so long, what I realized was that eventually every protocol is going to have its own app chain. This has been a thesis that, you know, we believed in 2018 when like I was getting involved in Cosmos. It's playing out now with DYDX chain being there just for DYDX. You have Evo moving to their own L3, I should call it, or is a roll-up. It's hard to say what the definition is, but yeah, to their own app chain.
Hyperliquid have is its own, right.
Yes, yeah. Hyperliquid is itself a Cosmos-based L1. What is the general, like if you see all the perp dexes, they all are moving to app chains. At this stage, we didn't want to be in a stage where we are competing against like all other general purpose applications for the scalability of our product itself. So it was very important to pick a chain where we can work a lot on the application layer itself. And so if you look at Injective currently, it's a L1 that is specifically built for finance. They have a lot of exchange modules, like auction, order matching, a lot of those modules on the base chain itself. You can have a lot of unique things like you can have a dedicated mempool that is being created just for, say, the activity that is happening on Filament. So kind of like the association or the scalability that we can have working more closely with a dedicated finance app chain was one of the decisions. Now you are an EVM product. There's no issue in onboarding users from EVM, but you are leveraging a very scalable base layer of Cosmos tech, which is the same as Hyperliquid, same as DYDX, but then you have no overhead of maintaining that network, right? So that was the thought process, and that's where we are kind of like trying to balance it out. Like early on, we have to find that PMF, we have to get the community, and if that makes sense, we sort of like still, you know, you can work with same app chain to create your own dedicated sort of like L2 on top of this, but like that is eventually. But at this stage, we wanted to minimize that overhead while having all of the benefits that comes with an app chain.
Yeah, that's super cool. I get what you guys have decided. So, and thank you for kind of clarifying that this is going to be an Injective EVM chain. So my question is basically, people will be bridging funds. You mentioned layer zero. I guess the more popular one on Cosmos is Axelar to this chain. And then afterwards, people can deposit, you know, USDC, and then they can kind of start trading on Filament Finance. Is that kind of the flow that you guys are envisioning for onboarding and getting some liquidity within your protocol?
Yes, the idea is, so we just have USD, so our stable coin as collateral, and both the LPs and traders only deposit a stable coin. So the goal is that we don't even like want people to move out of our application. They should stay just in our application. So we have like, our goal is to have an interface for people to bridge assets to any chain and bring it on like our platform. But for them, it's just as a centralized exchange like of experience where they don't have to go through hassle of bridging those assets on a base chain, bringing it on our chain. So like getting lost. So you just simply have, okay, where when you click deposit, you are able to just bring it on from like Arbitrum or Optimism or Polygon or BSC, whatever chain you want to bring it on. You just bring your stable coins, you deposit there, you start trading.
So that would be powered I guess you mentioned layer zero. So would it be possible to deposit from Osmosis? You know, I have some USD in Osmosis, or I don't know, let's go with another funny chain. I have USV on Juno. Can I deposit liquidity from Juno directly to your protocol using layer zero, or will you guys work with different providers? Just kind of wondering about the Cosmos onboarding experience here.
Yeah. So Cosmos onboarding experience is through the base chain. So like Injective itself is an IBC enabled chain, so any asset which comes to Injective then can be simply bridged onto the L2, so it's just through Hyperlane. So Hyperlane is kind of like modified IBC, which is very similar to IBC with kind of like for the broader EVM ecosystem. So you kind of like easily roll it up to you can bridge that assets to the L2, which is in EVM.
So Osmosis to there's Injective easy, and then Injective to, you know, your EVM. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But the end user, our goal is they shouldn't go through that experience, that they don't have to migrate to Injective and then L2. It just simply happens. And these are, of course, the eventual things. But not just this, like how in EVM, another big reason for choosing something like the Injective EVM, and I know there are more chains that are coming around with a similar model, is that you have now composability to Solana as well. So Injective has already gone very deep into like in embedding like .sol or like the domain names. You can just interoperate between .inj or .sol, both on Solana and Injective side. So very similarly, like our goal is like people will be able to bridge through Solana, that is through Wormhole. People will be able to bridge their Cosmos assets to Hyperlane, and people will be able to bridge their Ethereum assets through layer zero. So you kind of like have best of all three, and users don't have to worry about where they're coming from. So it's not, it's a step up on even from like, you know, say other like products that are out there. So it just becomes very, very agnostic.
Yeah, very cool. We're all about, you know, being chain agnostic. Our collection is on 10 different chains, so we kind of understand the value prop of this. So let's get to kind of, you know, the protocol itself. I'm very excited to try it out. Wondering what stages of the build are y'all guys at? How far along are you? You know, when can we see this on mainnet? I don't know how much you can share about this, but really curious to know about the development and the upcoming roadmap, I guess.
Yeah, so we have completed our development. We have already started our security audits. We have our contracts deployed yesterday in EVM. We're going on our public testnet, which is phase one, where it is kind of only for safe listed addresses, RecGAN being one of them. It's happening mid-March, so probably end of next week or early next week. So that's the timeline for testnet. The phase one of testnet, which is safe listed one, runs for like 3 to 4 weeks or 2 to 3 weeks, and then we have public testnet, which gets open to everyone. And then our goal is to get to the mainnet by end of April, early May. That's the timeline that we're looking at, just subject to security audits. Our goal is to not go out there with less than 2 security audits. Our current goal is have minimum 2 security audits. And then if we can get an extra one, that's great as well. But only after we have 2 security audits done, completed, we'll jump onto mainnet. So yeah, timeline still looks like end of April, early May for the mainnet. But we have a lot of interesting things on testnet. I don't have the liberty right now to share everything, but kind of like guilds is a very, very interesting model. But it's also like we are doing very, very interesting things in terms of people that have got really bored with points. And airdrops make no sense to like reward people who are not involved in your product. And points kind of have overextended now. So we're taking a very interesting approach. People will love or hate us, I'm not sure, but it kind of will make it very, very interesting for everyone.
Oh man, you need to share this. This was going to be my question. Like, this is the money question. If I play on testnet, do I get points? Do I get some sort of airdrop eventually? You know, why should I be giving my time, you know, and feedback and all those precious moments of my life to Filament? And
yeah,
I can speculate, guys. I'm pretty sure he's saying you're going to get an airdrop. But if it's coming from me, it's not coming from him. It's fine, right?
I mean, this I can definitely clarify. It's going to be an incentivized testnet. So everyone is going to get points. It just says that those points will not be mere simple number on your screen. Just like, oh, you are, it's like dangling an airdrop for months. That's not what will happen. So you have points. We're just making it more interesting for people to have points and have fun with points as well as they get them. So yeah, that's the goal.
You had me at incentivized. Everything else afterwards is not important. No, I love it. I guess, you know, I'm very curious, and you kind of talked about it a little bit. But you guys' strategy to onboard NFT communities. And just for the record, at Rec Gang, we were very early with this approach. I believe we kind of organized the first quote-unquote guild wars on Hyperliquid trading competitions back in the day for NFT communities, which was pretty fun. I have to admit, it was pretty cool. We also made some memes. So I kind of see the value prop there. So I understand it, but I kind of want you to maybe explain it to the listeners a little better about what was the whole idea here.
Yeah, so you can have like these guilds initially and you get them competition, and then like it's a very, very interesting model to get people involved. That's definitely always the case. Hyperliquid did it, I know, and that's probably where we also saw some of the communities that are very involved in DeFi, Rekt Gang being one of them. It's very interesting, right? But like, how do you grow this kind of what I said earlier was like cultural alignment of certain users? Like, if you look at currently how NFT indexes, like how NFT collections are, what's the main purpose of them? People look at them, or like, it just says a JPEG, or some people use them for like speculating on the price and like this will grow. But now that I've started getting very involved in NFT communities, what I've started realizing is they're a perfect index of users on a certain chain. For your example, you have Solana, like you want to get the best Solana users. You can just like tap into Matlabs, right? So that allows you to have the best quality builders, users, power users, everyone that is involved in that ecosystem. You want to go into the Interchain ecosystem, you have Badkits. You want to have in Ethereum, you have Pudgy Penguins. You want to have like other communities that are very involved, could be like Rekt Gang, right? So like people who are using these products, but also get involved in other products. It's a great way to index those users. Now, what we wanted to do is like, okay, you bring them on. Initially on testnet, it's very much like, oh, like I can, like it's a fantasy league. The winning guild gets a huge pool of points, which is which is an additional advantage. So individual users, of course, you're getting points, but then a winning guild gets a huge pool of points at the end of the competition, which is the testnet competition. But now you have, like, over time, as guilds mature, we plan to have retained top five guilds on our platform itself, on mainnet as well. So you have guilds on mainnet as well. What these guilds get now, multiple advantages. Multiple advantages is like you have a set of users that are actively trading. You want to have very targeted incentive for these users, right? So kind of like most applications in DeFi really struggle to say, okay, how do we have very targeted incentivizations and how they are sustainable? Like you start throwing your own token at people and then you just have like one person farming it from 20 different addresses and drains up all the rewards, right? It's not sustainable over time. But you have this set of users that are there, that are actively being there. They're part of a guild. This guild sort of grows over time, slowly. Now, they are trading actively. You want to give them a lot of benefits. So, for example, you want to have a rebate program for certain assets that a certain guild is trading. Now, you have these targeted for this guild. You want to create interesting models of like how like fee that this guild itself is generating goes back in some form of rewards is another interesting way. But then on top of it, you allow the best traders in the community itself to like form a strategy vault on top of a guild, which is only for a selected few members. So like Wrecked Gang itself has a strategy vault where only Wrecked Gang members can deposit their assets. So kind of like you are allowing people to create very, very interesting strategies. You're also creating a lot of alignment with the product and incentivization within the product. So that's how we envision guilds. Now you kind of also like over time, you always have certain users trading on a certain set of users, which makes your product very, very agnostic. It leverages on the key factor, which I said, which differentiates you from centralized exchange. You have meme coins in Solana ecosystem. Madlads are trading them because they understand it best. You have meme coins in Cosmos. The users that are in Cosmos understand it. You have assets, a new big product that is coming up in a certain ecosystem. These people are like available. They want to trade this. Now you have incentives that are aligned with this. So you have pre-launch markets that are coming up. You have incentives for these people to trade on that. So that's where I think Serge just says how these guilds into long-term like models come in play.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I love a little friendly competition. I think Wrecked Gang's going to win this one or not. We either going to get liquidated real quick or we're going to, you know, win it all. We always go big or go home. Most of the time we go home.
I'm super excited about that. With that, we have all just today opened Wrecked Gang guild registrations. So if you are a Wrecked Gang holder, you should go to guilds.filament.finance. It's also on our Twitter handle. So if you click on our Twitter handle, it's right on there. You should go out and get yourself a slot early on. There's only 250 slots for each guild. And we already have Bad Kids, Mad Lads, and Munch Dow, and Stake Cito. All of them were filled in very quick. So
Wolfman picked the 250 Bad Kids spots. We all think that that's what happened. So you do have one very, very big power user there. I don't know if you're familiar with Wolfman.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is great. Yeah, go ahead. Everybody from the gang that's listening to the space, go pick your spot. You know, there's going to be points. I know a lot of you do leverage trade on Hyperliquid. Might be worth trying a new platform here. And he said there's going to be some really cool perks for the winning community. I think out of all these communities, no, I'm not going to compete against Mad Lads, but all the others we can probably, you know, crush in a community-driven event. No shade.
I wouldn't discount anyone, truly. Like, it's a level playing field. And I feel smaller communities are going to, like, be the most fierce one in this one. And it just is, like, that's a feeling I'm getting because, like, I see these people coming in our community and now they're already strategizing. Okay, which, like, what, like, they're already asking these questions, which all assets we can trade. And then they're going out and, okay, if we are going to trade these assets, we are like, okay, this can happen, this, that can happen. And
this is a great question.
It surely comes down to that enthusiasm.
Yeah, I love this question. I actually wanted to ask it and then I kind of lost track there. But the assets that we will be allowed to trade, I know on, you know, again, sorry for mentioning Hyperliquid so often, it's just the one that has the most assets, right? Like, they even have the W token, the wormhole token, has not even launched. They have FriendTech perps. They have NFT indexes. They have, you know, Whip was super early there and all the other meme coins. I've been longing Harry Potter, Obama, Sonic on that one as well. It's a lot of meme coins from these different chains. So wondering what kind of breadth of assets are you looking to implement on Filament?
Yeah, so great question. You're going to have a lot of interesting assets on Filament. From you would have all the major assets like BTC, ETH, SOL, ARB, and XYZ. But you have then you have meme tokens that like most popular meme tokens we will bring in. We call them sandbox assets. So they definitely have to trade for a certain epochs to be retained on the platform. We see the volumes, but we'll have a much faster rate of listing these assets. These assets, like kind of like what becomes difficult for most DEXs is to retain the activity or depth in market. So we're going to have, like, of course, major assets, meme coins. We're going to have pre-launch tokens, very similar to, like, you know, have W token. You would have, like, multiple other big assets that are coming up or launching, like Layer Zero, but they've been for a while, but they have not launched. But kind of like those kind of assets all on the platform. But the way the accessibility happens, even for some smaller assets, which, you know, the demand could be very niche, is unique on the product. That would, I will say, like, those details would disclose as the product, like, comes around. But the most active users, I can say this, and like, I would encourage people to sort of dig more deeper into the product as it comes out, is that there is a great value in being a loyal user on Filament, is that you will get a lot of more advantages to access certain assets, which are not accessible to everyone, right? So they're kind of like saying you don't want to expose all the people to very risky assets, but at the same time, you just don't want to, like, launch every exciting asset to everyone. You want to, like, slowly give advantage to certain people. You want to stabilize those assets on your product and then offer it to everyone. So kind of like giving almost like an early access on, like, certain assets as well, which might be at niche assets early on. So that's another very, very exciting venue, which I feel will happen on Filament.
So you mentioned, I guess, the meme coins, you know, the unlaunched tokens, a lot of fungibles, right? Wondering, what about, you know, what about us JPEGers? Any indexes, Bad Kids Index? I don't think that exists.
Yes.
That could be interesting, you know. Rec Gang Index, Basket of Bad Kids, Rec Bulls, Rec Wolves, Trippy Wolves, whatever you want to do, Mad Lads. Okay, you said yes, go ahead, man.
I think so. You are very good with extracting alpha that I will give to you. Yes, we do plan to do that. We're just working with teams. The only risk that comes up with having indexes, particularly with low volume assets and particularly very volatile assets like NFTs, is that they get very risky on leverage. So we're, like, looking at how do we minimize the kind of, like, volatility or just, like, blowing up or no demand, and see what in type of indexes. But I'm saying we might not just have NFT indexes. We're going beyond. So that is something that, you know, I will say needs a little bit more time to reveal completely. But we are working on a completely different index. A venue which doesn't exist today. So yeah, that will be a huge add-on again, what Filament brings in. And so meme coins indexes, you would have pre-launch tokens, you would have major assets, yeah, kind of everything that is available. But yeah, right now, that I think I want to clarify, right now our goal is to only focus on crypto assets. So we're not probably going beyond crypto assets at this stage.
Yeah, no, that's fine. If I want to leverage Olive Oil, I'll ask Giannis. He, although that has been performing pretty well. So and I know you were mentioning earlier, been developing or working on a RWA platform before. So eventually might see that crossover, right? But I think you have way more than enough for degens to gamble on, you know, meme coins and the classic assets and whatever NFT index or thing you guys are building. I'm very curious to learn more about that one, but I guess I'll wait.
Yeah, Robbie, this is something we can work on together. Why not, like, Rekt Gang and Filament collaborates on something like bringing more exciting things for the Rekt Gang community. So super excited about what's coming up, and super excited about how community will play a role, and like of diversity of community that will play in role. So how we envision like people that are coming, early access folks, especially these guilds like Rekt Gang, is that they will be the first class citizens on the platform. And there will be a lot of like added advantages that like, you know, compound over time. So you have, of course, the big traders that come in, trade, talking to so many traders that have realized that they are never going to be loyal to one platform. They're going to trade on every platform that's out there. That's generally how like they trade, but like you want to have part of those, and then you want to have loyal users. And so you have different sort of, incentive models for both sort of users. That's very important to understand, I feel, as a like a DeFi, and especially as a perp-dex.
Very cool. And I guess, you know, as I feel like a lot of these perp-dexes, they're doing it right. I mean, their goal is to get the traders in, and the numbers matter. I'm wondering, since you're onboarding NFT communities, and that's kind of like the first wave, you call them first class citizens. I don't think anybody called Rekt Gang first class citizen ever, so I appreciate it. That being said, are there any plans to implement some sort of social layer to, you know, your first guild wars or guild competition? Again, because I feel like these communities are pretty good at leveraging their clout, quote unquote, and kind of shilling the protocol. And all those things that bring eyes to the product. So in that sense, you mentioned trading competition, but I'm wondering, will there be some sort of, I guess, you know, social aspect to it as well?
Yes. So we plan to have micro campaigns that will go throughout the testnet. But then we also have something which is called like Supernaturals, which is going to act as the social layer to the product. And that would kind of also give like an identity to the most active like community members or the users on the platform. So yes, there are going to be some of the social campaigns as well. Users can come in. Each week we'll have a theme. So we're not going to have like a disarray of things. We're going to have like very targeted campaign every week. So each member that comes around, each user that's on the platform can leverage that week's campaigns. But that being said, our campaigns are not going to be like Zili or something like that. We are very, very, I feel like we're very conservative of running social mining campaigns. So they're going to be very targeted to the users.
Yeah, sometimes it's just ridiculous. You don't need the bots, right? You need real users.
Yes. So I think the easiest way would be is that get involved in the Discord community. We plan to form now like groups, which would be like dedicated groups for each of the guilds as well, but in general, the overall community as well. And then that's where we will start putting out these social campaigns. Each individual will have a chance to get involved, participate, do some, like, whatever the theme of that week is. And then, like, as a user, they might not be, you know, the most active, like, Pope's trader. They might not understand it. So for that as well, we have something which we call LFG Academy, which is called Learn for Growth. But, you know, the meme goes in LFG. The
team around familiar, that we're is... We're from Luna, that, right? We don't think this is fun.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yes, everyone, I think, so uses good memes in a good way. And so our thought process there is, you're a user who doesn't understand PERPs, how it works, then why not we make it exciting for you to learn about PERPs? So what we have done is, on every week, there's going to be one competition. So something like, say, we're going to release an entire information about, say, funding rates, and then whoever maintains their position, ensuring like they have only a dedicated amount, we're going to boost up the funding rate extensively on an asset, and then sort of like people will have to maintain their position. Whoever maintains it for the longest period of time, which is will be called something called smooth operator. So at the end of that week, there is a smooth operator, whoever wins it. So you like teach people about what could be the risks that are involved with high funding rates. And as the rates go up, how do they maintain their position? Similarly, like there will be a week where like you have to get the liquidated fastest.
Oh, yeah, we did that one. Someone got liquidated. I think we have like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, many people under a minute. Definitely, this is up our alley.
Yeah. Yeah. And then similarly, like, you know, we have, like, the team has done a good job with naming them, but it's like there's something called like, no seed bells, no pain, no gain, some of these sorts of like smaller, bigger campaigns as well. So yeah, every week there's going to be one. That's another way where people can like, you know, do something micro, they understand it, they learn along the way, they get involved. And that's why I said, like, first class citizens is like, you get access to also learning and being more involved. And I feel like, you sometimes people compete a lot about that, you know, there are only very few users in crypto and everyone is fighting for them. But I disagree. I feel like there are a lot of users now. You just have to kind of like also sometimes create a venues for people, new users, to learn about a certain product. And the more natural it comes, the better it is. So kind of like our goal with our testnet is also to like allow people to learn about leverage and like see what the ways they can use it, the use cases that fit them.
So that's a great idea, especially for a lot of these NFT communities that are mostly focused. A lot of them trade only JPEGs, right, or NFTs. Some of them do trade, you know, swap coins, and PERPs is kind of like next level and very easy to get wrecked on PERPs. I am not, you know, I don't trade that much and I'm not a genius. I do enjoy the vaults, which is great. But that being said, adding a layer of education to it, I think is a very cool idea. I'm going to open it up to the audience. If some of y'all down here have questions, please come up. Just as a reminder, Filament Finance Testnet is going to launch in a couple of weeks, right? And all you rec degens get your roles so you can be first class citizens on the app and then get yourself some really cool incentivizations. Not sure if it's going to be points, seems like it will be, and there'll be a play on those points. So do make sure to participate. Maybe rec gang can win. Maybe you're part of another NFT project and your NFT project can win. So get your roles, join the Discord, right? That's kind of like the PSA message. And if you do have questions, please feel free to come up. Did I miss something? Any other recap messages that you wanted to share?
No, nothing. I just say 250 slots, first come, first basis. The sooner you get, the better it is. I know a lot of bad kids wanted to be part of it, but they missed out.
Tell Wolfman to stop, you know, spreading his bad kids. Thing went from I don't know. Was it 3,000 holders to 6,000 after 20 sales? I don't know how many he holds. I'm messing with you, but probably not even Wolfman.
You could also tell those bad kid holders to buy a Rekt Gang asset and come join ours.
Yeah, I already see 29 people have registered already, so it's exciting to see.
Yeah, that's probably Zobu. He has a few accounts as well. He's a pro at you're laughing because you know we are an alpha hub, okay? So a lot of people have a lot of things spread amongst many wallets and do a lot of airdrop farming. So I kind of expect this to happen. That being said, I feel like there's a lot of ways you can mitigate. You know, we have an IP checker within our community. Basically, if you're coming from the same IP, it will block you. Or if you don't want to, if you're using a VPN as well. So it's kind of restrictive, but then again, definitely prevents a lot of botting from our subber giveaways. So Trendy, you, I think you kind of run those and how much, I guess, you know, how can we prevent this Sybil attack of of the protocol?
You can't.
Yeah, right. Except KYC, I guess. You can't. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Life finds a way.
Yeah, degens will degen. Okay, we got Amir here. Amir always asks the good questions. I was very polite. Go ahead, Amir. Ask away.
Nice little AMA you have here. I just, this question is not good, actually. It's just where to register. I did not hear that part. Is it on the Discord or on your website right away?
Yeah, so you just need to go to guilds, GUILDS, .filament.finance. If you go to our Twitter handle, which is right here as well, you go there, you'll find it there as well. There's multiple tweets mentioning it. Just like, please be sure that you're only going to guilds.filament.finance, and then you'll be able to just register your slot.
Great. Can we do it on mobile or only on desktop?
No, only on desktop. You'll have to. So your addresses are snapshot. So we took a snapshot of all the holders. You just have to connect whichever collection you're bringing. If it's on the EVM side, then you connect to EVM wallet. If it is on Stargaze, the Stargaze collection, that one, just like connect to whatever respective address you have. And then you will. There will be a prompt if you're eligible or not. If you are eligible, you just have to submit your ERC-20 address. Since it's an ERC-20 product, you'll have to just like deposit, like your submit an ERC-20 address. This can be any address of your choice. So it can be a completely new minted address, could be an old address. That's your choice. You submit it, and then that's done. It's a simple process. We don't take any permissions on any wallets, so that should not be a concern. You just have to sign. That's the only, and the thing is that only people who are holding a certain asset, when they're depositing, they're signed with their wallet. That's the only check that is there. So we don't kind of like take any permission. That's another check that you're on the right website, is that it should not ask any wallet permission from you.
Perfect. Thank you, Abitej. Thank you, Zerk.
I just registered, so it worked real smooth for my Rekt Wolf on ETH, which is great. Any other questions, Amir? Anybody else have questions? I feel we did a good hour. It was very productive. It was a good AMA. I'm very happy. Thank you so much for Abitej for taking the time again.
Thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed it. I'm super excited about this collaboration and super excited to see Rekt Gang folks, you know, Rekt. Directing other communities and guilds. Let's see how it goes.
I get one more question, cool. I guess. When are you getting a Rekt Gang NFT? No, you don't have to answer that.
if Rekt Gang wins, probably I'm gonna get a Rekt Gang NFT.
I mean, do you really need to say if? It's more of when. That depends entirely on
yeah. So let's hope it's when. Then probably I already start selecting my NFT that I want to buy. And then, yeah, just like as soon as it when it happens, I will get.
Okay, let's do this. When we win, you'll have to change from that Bad Gets PFP to a Rec Gang PFP just for a day. Okay, I don't want to make you commit too much. Is that too much, or is that, you know, not enough?
I promise, if Rec Gang wins, I'm gonna change my PFP to a Rec Gang PFP for a day or maybe more.
Nice.
Yeah, you have it there.
I mean, I see there are like already 8 or 9 different communities, so it won't be that easy, but should be fun. Thanks. Thank you again for showcasing and building, Filament Finance. It's going to be a fun, I think, competition with all the Guild Wars. I'm excited for it. And thank you for the time. Thank you to the listeners as well for showing up. I guess you got some cool alpha here. Do register right now, because it seems like those spots are going to go fast. I see there are already at least 30 people signed up. I just signed up. So, and we haven't announced it at all yet. So yeah, please go ahead. And thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah, bye-bye. Take care. Have fun. Enjoy. The markets are going crazy. We just touched the new all-time high for BTC, but back to square one and now next all-time high in making. So yeah, have fun. Be safe. And yeah, soon you would be able to trade all these assets on Filament. Bye-bye, take care, have a great
day. Guys, thanks again.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting nodders. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.